What does it really take to scale your law firm without burning out or backing down? Welcome to the Summer Success Series of the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. This is a power-packed roundup of our most downloaded episodes from the first half of 2025. So whether you're new here or you're one of our trusted followers, these are the conversations that high-performing law firm owners couldn't stop talking about. From sealing up intake leaks to scaling with AI, these are the exact strategies our clients are using to unlock profit, reclaim time, and lead with clarity. So while you're recharging, power up with the insights that are already driving serious results. The systems, the freedom, the empire. Let's finish 2025 stronger, smarter, and more unapologetic than ever.
Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
So we have one of the most amazing, mind-blowing episodes that you'll hear today, and it's all generated by AI. But before you tune out, I think it's worth listening in. And let me share with you how it was made and why it's important. It was made with one of Google's AI products called Notebook LM. It's free. If you go to notebooklm.google.com, we're able to upload links, documents, Google Docs, Google Sheets, whatever you can imagine. You can upload whatever you want, and you're able to ask AI about whatever you uploaded. This is going to be really useful for, imagine, you know, you have client files potentially, or whatever you could think about, marketing files, information about your prospects, clients, whatever you think, upload it and ask it questions. But another feature that Notebook LM has is that you're able to get a audio overview. So this audio overview is based on the show notes from our Law Entrepreneur Podcast, and it is mind-blowing. So it's definitely worth listening in. I'll be listening in to this podcast the same way you will. Let's find out what insights that we get from the past 30 or 40 episodes. I lost count. And I think this will be really mind-blowing. And if we see that it does well and we're getting good insights and we're getting good feedback, we'll potentially incorporate these to do more of these in a good way. Again, we're just trying to provide value. I have tons of notes, tons of insights that I have shared, so I could feed a Notebook LM with these insights and we could get this amazing episode. All right, so tune in, enjoy it, and I know you will get a lot of value from this.
All right, welcome back. So you've given us this really interesting challenge, like a whole stack of episodes from the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because we've got episodes from both the original host, Neil.
Right.
And then also from Sam, the new host.
It's a transition. It's like a legal dynasty, you know, passing the torch.
So what can we learn from this, like this change? I mean, Neil built this incredible community over 400 episodes.
Absolutely.
And now Sam's stepping in, bringing, you know, this whole fresh perspective.
Yeah.
And he's already, I mean, talk about accomplished. The guy's only 36 years old. He's already running four different law firms.
Yeah.
He's got My Legal Academy, and then Lawyer Club, which, you know, he's very much about making this legal information free and accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we look at just the sheer volume of leads and clients that he's generating every single month, it's clear that
he knows what he's doing.
This is someone who gets things done.
Absolutely.
And actually, this isn't even his first time on the show, right?
Yeah. No, not at all.
He's been on episodes 188, 237, and 286.
That's right.
So he's no stranger to this world.
Definitely not.
But I think this transition really signals something exciting, right? Like it's a focus on the future of law.
Absolutely.
And it kind of begs the question, what is that future? Like, what does that look like?
Well, and particularly with AI shaking things up, you know, like it's such a rapidly changing landscape that you really need to be proactive. You need to be adaptable. You need to be willing to kind of embrace these new approaches.
Okay. So then what is Sam's vision?
I mean, he's laid out these three core themes: early adoption, practical tech, and self-development.
And you can already see how those are so, like, crucial.
Oh, absolutely.
In today's world, right?
Especially in law.
Yeah. So let's break those down. What does, I mean, the early adoption, like, what does that actually look like?
It's about staying ahead of the curve, right? So it's not just knowing about AI, but it's actively integrating it into your practice.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. You know, we've got Moore's Law, We've got rights law, all these things telling us that AI is advancing at this incredible pace and becoming increasingly affordable.
So you're saying if you're not already on board, you're already behind?
I think that's a fair assessment.
Okay, so where do we even start? Like, this is a lot.
Yeah, well, he points to things like conferences, like the Singularity AI conference, right?
Okay.
That's a way to stay informed about these latest developments. And I think the other thing that he really stresses is the importance of viewing data as a valuable asset.
Okay.
Because, I mean, think about it. Law firms, they handle so much data.
That's true.
And AI can really help you leverage that effectively.
And this is where his work with My Legal Academy becomes, like, really interesting, right?
Absolutely.
It's about giving those lawyers the tools and knowledge they need to actually apply this.
100%.
Okay, so like moving from theory to practice.
Yeah.
What are some specific tools that he recommends?
Well, he highlights these five AI tools that can, you know, really boost your productivity immediately.
Okay.
The first one being the ChatGPT mobile app. And he actually suggests that it could potentially even replace Google search for certain tasks.
Whoa, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he's really tapping into like those multimodal features then, like the text, the images, maybe even voice.
He's all about that efficiency.
Yeah.
And then there's Adobe Enhanced Speech, which is great for cleaning up audio and videos.
Mm-hmm.
Super useful for like, you know, client testimonials, online consultations.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, Evernote, which I know you use all the time.
I do use Evernote, yeah.
Have you been using the AI features yet?
You know, I haven't really dived into those.
You should. It's amazing.
Okay.
You know, it can summarize your notes. It can organize all your research, even transcribe handwritten notes.
Huh?
It's pretty wild.
Okay.
And then there's, of course, Grammarly, which we all need for that all-important writing assistance, you know?
Because let's face it, a lot of legal communication.
It's still written.
It's still in writing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally, he recommends a McWhisper for, like, those quick and accurate transcriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but he actually provides a full list of his like recommended tools.
He does.
In Lawyer Club.
In Lawyer Club, yeah.
Which is fantastic. So definitely check that out.
Definitely.
So, I mean, we're seeing this shift from passive learning to actually actively implementing these tools, which is cool.
It is.
But AI isn't just limited to like, you know, specialized software anymore.
Well, you're right.
Like it's everywhere.
So episode 406 really dives into Apple's recent AI advancements.
Okay.
Specifically, the introduction of what they're calling Apple Intelligence.
Okay.
Which is this new system that aims to personalize user experiences while still respecting privacy, which I think is...
Yeah, which is a big concern these days.
A huge concern.
Yeah.
And, you know, Siri is getting like a major, I don't even want to say makeover, more like a
transformation.
Yeah, transformation. It's becoming a true digital assistant, you know, understanding you better, responding to type commands. It even will be aware of what's on your screen.
That's pretty cool.
Plus, ChatGPT is now officially integrated with Apple devices.
Yeah.
And there are new AI writing tools across all Mac apps.
Oh, wow.
And did you hear about the AI-generated emojis?
No.
They're calling them Genmoji.
Okay, that is both fascinating and slightly terrifying at the same time.
It is.
But it just speaks to how quickly this is all developing.
It really does.
And, you know, this brings us to another point that Sam really drives home. Being proactive about your marketing.
Yeah.
In episodes 411 and 412, he tackles these common marketing mistakes that lawyers make that are actually hindering their growth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. Like, what are some of these missteps?
Well, one mistake is relying too heavily on SEO while underestimating the power of those Google reviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about it. You know, the Google reviews, they build that trust and that credibility in a way that, you know, search engine rankings just can't.
It's that social proof, right?
Exactly.
Like seeing what other people are saying about your services.
Absolutely.
Okay. What else?
Another mistake is underinvesting in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You need a dedicated budget. And you need a strategy for scaling that budget based on your return on investment.
So don't be afraid to spend money, but make sure you're tracking those results.
Exactly.
Okay, what else?
And, you know, he really stresses the importance of collecting those Google reviews.
Yeah.
Like they're going out of style.
Yeah, because they're so important for that local visibility.
Exactly.
Okay.
He recommends aiming for 100 to 250.
Whoa.
Ideally more.
That seems like a lot, but I guess it's a numbers game, right?
It is.
Okay.
He also advises against personally signing up clients once your practice starts growing.
Okay.
He says, instead, build a dedicated intake team to handle those initial interactions.
Okay. So this frees you up to focus on the legal work. And it ensures that smooth and professional client experience.
Yeah.
It's about building those systems to support your growth.
Absolutely.
Okay. And finally, he cautions against spreading yourself too thin across multiple marketing platforms.
Okay.
So instead of trying to be everywhere, just focus on one or two that are working best for you and dominate those.
No. So it's quality over quantity when it comes to your marketing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All of this is great advice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to profitability.
Yeah.
How do you actually make sure your law firm is successful financially?
That's where episode 413 comes in.
Okay.
It's a deep dive into maximizing profitability.
Okay. Hit me with the highlights.
Right.
What's the secret sauce?
Well, he stresses the importance of effective cost management.
Know your expenses, cut out any unnecessary spending, and look for ways to, replace some of those manual tasks with automation and, AI.
There's that theme again.
Yep.
AI for efficiency.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
And he talks about, moving away from those hourly rates to value-based pricing, charging based on the actual value that you deliver to clients.
So it's about knowing your worth.
Absolutely.
And positioning yourself accordingly, which I imagine is a hard transition for some lawyers.
It can be.
Yeah.
It's about shifting your mindset from, trading time for money to providing solutions and achieving results.
Okay, so what else contributes to law firm profitability?
Well, investing in lead generation is crucial, but not just any leads. Focus on those high-value clients.
So those with higher lifetime value?
Exactly.
Okay.
He mentions a minimum lifetime value of $3,500 per client.
Wow.
That's kind of the benchmark.
To aim for,
and then all comes back to specialization.
Okay.
Finding your niche, becoming the go-to expert in that area.
So finding your blue ocean.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
He also touches on time management and hiring mistakes.
Oh, time management.
In episodes 407 and 408.
That's something every lawyer can relate to.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, what are some of the biggest time wasters that we need to be aware of?
The usual suspects,
Okay.
Constantly answering those emails, getting sucked into social media.
Yeah.
And too many unnecessary meetings.
It's about being mindful of how you're spending your time.
Absolutely.
And making sure you're focusing on those high value tasks.
Exactly.
Okay. What about hiring? What are some of the mistakes that lawyers make when they're building their teams?
He warns against hiring smooth talkers instead of doers.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to be impressed by someone who can, talk a good game.
Right.
But what matters is their track record.
Right. So look beyond that charisma and dig into their experience.
Absolutely.
Okay.
He also cautions against waiting until you're completely overwhelmed to start hiring.
Right.
You need to hire proactively to avoid making those rash decisions.
Right. You don't want to be in that position where you just need someone.
Yeah.
Anyone will do.
And then he also emphasizes the importance of onboarding and training.
Yeah.
Don't just throw someone into the deep end, invest in setting them up for success.
It's about creating a supportive and structured environment for your team members.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing that's come up repeatedly is the importance of virtual assistants.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like they're a key part of his vision for, this modern scalable law firm.
Absolutely. Episode 414 is all about leveraging those virtual assistants effectively.
Okay.
And he shares these valuable secrets.
Okay, I'm all ears. Let's dive into those secrets.
All right, so secret number one, hiring specialists, not generalists. Find VAs who have that deep expertise in those specific areas that you need help with.
Don't try to find a VA that can do it all.
Exactly.
Because that's just a recipe for mediocrity.
Exactly.
Okay, what's the second secret?
He introduces this really interesting concept called the rule of twos.
Okay.
Which is hiring at least two candidates for every role and giving them both a small test project.
Okay, that's smart. So you get to compare their skills.
Absolutely.
In action.
Yep.
Before you commit.
And it creates a backup pool of talent.
So you're always prepared.
Always prepared.
Okay, what's secret number three?
He emphasizes the need for this really robust standard operating procedure or, SOP.
The VA's Bible.
Exactly. It's a detailed guide that outlines how to perform those specific tasks or processes.
So it needs to be comprehensive, easy to follow to ensure that consistency and quality.
You got it.
Okay. But how do you make sure that they're actually understanding it and following it?
He recommends using tools like Loom to create training videos that walk them through the process.
So those visuals can be really helpful.
Super helpful.
Especially when you're working with remote team members.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's secret number four?
Effective communication.
Mm-hmm.
You need to establish those clear expectations, have regular check-ins, and utilize the right tools for the job.
So what does he recommend?
He specifically recommends using Slack for instant messaging and then, you know, Loom again for those visual instructions.
Powerful combination.
Right.
For seamless remote communication.
Absolutely.
All right. So secret number five.
Incentivizing performance.
Okay.
You know, you need to keep those virtual assistants motivated.
So how do you do that?
Well, he talks about that TGI framework we discussed earlier.
Right.
Tracking goals and incentives.
Right.
Set those clear goals, track the progress towards those goals, and then provide incentives for achieving those goals.
So it's about creating that win-win where they're motivated to perform at their best. And your firm benefits from their expertise.
You got it.
Now, speaking of efficiency, episode 415 dives into this, like, crucial but often overlooked aspect of intake.
Yep.
That whole process of converting leads into paying clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he highlights these common mistakes that are hindering client acquisition.
It's so important.
It is. So let's break it down. What are some of these intake pitfalls that we need to be aware of?
Well, the first one is treating intake as an afterthought.
Okay.
He stresses that it should be treated as a sales function.
Yeah.
It's the lifeblood of your firm's growth.
Right.
And it needs to be given the attention and resources it deserves.
So don't just tack it on, like make it a core part of your operation.
It's key.
Okay. What else?
Another mistake is accepting that each lead source will have its own conversion rate.
Okay.
And not actively training to improve those rates.
Okay.
So you need to constantly be evaluating your sources, looking for ways to optimize them, and making sure they're delivering a positive return.
It's about being proactive and data-driven.
Exactly.
Okay.
What else? He warns against relying on those unreliable answering services.
Yeah.
Instead of having a dedicated intake team.
So you need someone who can, like, represent your firm well.
Absolutely.
And actually answer those questions.
Yes.
Okay. Go what ahead. Else?
And then there's the mistake of not responding to leads quickly enough.
Oh, time is of the essence.
He highlights that statistic.
I know that statistic.
21 times.
More likely to convert.
You respond.
Within those first 5 minutes.
5 minutes. That's a tight window.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then finally, he emphasizes the importance of tracking those key intake metrics.
Because you can't improve what you don't measure.
You got it.
So you need to know those numbers. Your cost per lead, your conversion rates, and that overall return on investment.
Absolutely.
Now, this next episode is a bit of a like a detour into the world of cryptocurrency.
A little bit.
So episode 416, Sam shares his perspective on Bitcoin as a savings account.
Yeah. And as a hedge against inflation.
Interesting.
I'm curious to hear what he has to say about this.
Me too.
So he talks about, you know, Bitcoin's decentralized nature and its limited supply, which makes it inherently resistant to inflation.
Right.
And, you know, he really does believe that it has this potential to be a valuable long-term investment.
Right. But he's not advocating for everyone to go all in on Bitcoin.
No, definitely not. I mean, it is pretty volatile.
Very much so.
Yeah. And he, you know, he acknowledges that risk.
Yes.
And he emphasizes the importance of, you know, doing your research.
Absolutely.
Before making any decisions.
For sure.
And not investing more than you can afford to lose.
Of course.
Which is sound advice, no matter what you're investing in.
Absolutely.
He also recommends that dollar cost averaging strategy.
Yeah.
Which is basically, you know, investing small amounts consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of those fluctuations.
It's a good approach.
It's a disciplined approach that can potentially lead to more stable returns.
Yeah.
And it ties back to his overall philosophy, right?
Absolutely.
Thinking long term, not getting caught up in those short term fluctuations.
Absolutely.
Now, remember those six steps for scaling a personal injury law firm?
I do.
To 500 clients per month?
Yeah, 500 clients. That's ambitious.
It is ambitious.
But the plan seemed pretty solid.
It did. And it all starts with
people reviews.
Google reviews. Those reviews are like gold.
They are.
I mean, they're essential for building that trust, that credibility, the visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggests aiming for, you know, a minimum of 100, ideally 250 or more.
More the merrier.
More the merrier. The more reviews you have, the more, like, social proof you have.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So Google reviews are step one.
Step one.
What's step two?
Optimizing your Google My Business profile.
Okay.
For that maximum local visibility.
Okay.
So making sure it's complete, accurate, engaging, and it includes those professional photos of your team and your office.
So it's like your digital storefront.
Absolutely.
You want it to be inviting, informative.
Exactly.
Okay. Step three.
Setting up call tracking.
Okay.
And integrating it with your intake team.
Okay.
So you can see which marketing efforts are actually driving those phone calls.
So you're not just throwing money at advertising and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You're actually tracking those results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And step four.
This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Launching and scaling Google local services ads.
The LSAs.
The LSAs.
Okay.
A goldmine for personal injury.
I've heard those are incredibly effective.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the plan outlines how to like set up those campaigns.
Absolutely.
Target them effectively.
Yep.
And scale them to generate like that steady flow of high quality leads.
And they even give a target. $250,000 per month.
In ad spend.
In ad spend, yeah.
That's a serious investment.
It is.
But potentially very rewarding.
Potentially.
Okay, so we've covered four steps. What are the last two?
All right, so step five.
Okay.
Continuing to scale those LSAs.
Oh, okay.
To maintain that consistent flow of leads.
Got it.
And then step six, expanding beyond Google, exploring other platforms like TikTok and Meta ads.
So diversifying your marketing mix.
Yeah, to reach those clients who might not be using Google.
Right.
And they see TikTok as being particularly promising.
For personal injury.
Yeah, especially for personal injury. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so visual.
It is.
You can connect with people.
Yeah.
In a more engaging way.
And they even outline how they would divide the responsibilities if they were doing it.
Oh, interesting.
Sam being the visionary, focusing on the strategy and growth.
Okay.
Jonathan, the operator, handling the day-to-day execution.
It sounds like a powerful partnership.
It does.
And they're not afraid to, like, invest in their success.
Minimum budget, $100,000.
Wait.
Scaling to $400,000.
They're serious about this.
They.
And it really just highlights, like, the importance of having the right team.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're scaling.
You can't do it all yourself.
No.
You need those specialists.
Yeah. Whether they're virtual assistants, marketing experts, intake specialists, you need people to help you achieve those goals.
Now let's circle back to those virtual assistants.
Okay.
We talked about Sam's five secrets.
Yep.
But he goes even deeper into this subject in a separate episode.
He really believes in the power of virtual assistants.
He does.
Yeah.
He sees them as essential for building a scalable, efficient, and profitable law firm.
Okay.
And he emphasizes that it's not just about finding any VA. Mm-hmm. It's about finding the right VA.
The right VA, yeah.
For your specific needs.
Right. So someone who has the skills, but is also a good fit for your culture.
And your communication style.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And he talks about the importance of creating those clear expectations, establishing boundaries, and setting those VAs up for success.
With those detailed instructions and that ongoing support.
Absolutely.
It's about building that relationship.
Yes.
Now, here's something I think every lawyer can relate to. Time management.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's the bane of our existence.
Right.
There's never enough time in the day.
Nope.
So Sam actually dedicates a whole episode to discussing time management strategies specifically for lawyers.
That's awesome.
And he acknowledges, like, the unique challenges of the legal profession.
Yeah.
The long hours, the demanding clients, the ever-growing to-do list.
It never ends.
It never ends.
Right.
So it's not just about like generic time management tips.
Right.
It's about strategies that actually work for lawyers in the real world.
In the trenches.
In the trenches, yes.
So he talks about the importance of prioritizing tasks, setting those boundaries, and learning to say no when necessary.
Yeah.
And he emphasizes the need for those breaks.
Yes.
Downtime to avoid that burnout.
So it's about working smarter, not harder. And finding that balance between productivity and like your well-being.
Your mental health.
Yeah, your mental health.
It's so important.
Okay, so what are some of those specific strategies? Like, what does that actually look like?
He talks about batching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar tasks together.
Oh, okay.
So instead of switching back and forth between different types of work throughout the day,
right,
you set aside those dedicated blocks of time to focus on specific tasks.
That makes sense.
It helps you stay focused.
Yeah.
Get into a flow.
Reduce those distractions.
Absolutely.
Okay, what else?
He suggests using time tracking apps to get a better understanding of how you're actually spending your time.
So you can identify those time wasters.
Exactly.
And make those adjustments.
Data is your friend.
Data is your friend.
When it comes to time management.
You know, one thing that's resonating with me throughout all these episodes.
Yeah.
His emphasis on this continuous learning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's clear that he sees it as so crucial for success.
Absolutely. In today's world.
Especially in this rapidly evolving legal landscape.
He talks about how important it is to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-mm. To like step outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And be willing to learn.
Embrace it.
And grow.
Yeah.
And he practices what he preaches, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He's constantly experimenting with new tools, attending conferences, sharing his insights.
He's a true lifelong learner.
He is.
And he encourages other lawyers to adopt that same mindset.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that we haven't discussed in detail yet.
Okay.
Which is the importance of mentorship.
Oh, yeah, huge.
He's such a huge advocate for mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you know, both finding mentors, but also being a mentor.
Absolutely.
And he talks about how finding the right mentors can, like, accelerate your growth, provide that valuable guidance.
Yeah.
And help you avoid those costly mistakes.
Especially early on.
Especially early on.
In your career.
In your career, yeah.
But he also encourages those, like, more experienced lawyers to, like, pay it forward.
Yeah.
By mentoring others.
Absolutely.
Right? It's about sharing that knowledge, those experiences, those connections.
And it's a two-way street, you know.
Yeah.
It benefits both the mentor and the mentee.
And he makes this really interesting point about the importance of finding mentors who are outside of your immediate field.
Oh, I love that.
Like entrepreneurs, yeah. Business leaders, marketing experts.
Anyone who can offer a different perspective.
Yeah. You need to like step outside of that legal bubble.
Absolutely.
Sometimes to gain those valuable insights and kind of broaden your horizons.
Totally.
Now, let's talk about something near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Which is systems and processes.
I love it.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel like when you have those systems in place.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how much more efficient and effective you can be.
It's like a well-oiled machine.
Yes.
You know, everything just runs smoothly.
Effortlessly. But it does take time and effort to build those systems.
It does.
So any advice from Sam on how to approach this?
Well, he gives a lot of practical advice about how to create these systems, whether it's for intake, client management, marketing, any aspect of your practice. You know, he talks about the importance of documenting your processes,
okay,
creating checklists and leveraging technology to automate those repetitive tasks.
So, you know, working smarter, not harder.
Absolutely.
And, oh, you know, we've talked about Google reviews a lot.
Yeah.
And we know how important they are. But he dedicates a whole episode to like unveiling his law firm Google reviews playbook.
He does.
So what's that all about?
Well, it's essentially a collection of strategies and tactics for maximizing the impact of Google reviews on your firm's growth and reputation.
Okay, so it's not just about getting them. It's about actually using them strategically.
Exactly. And he starts by emphasizing the importance of proactively requesting those reviews from satisfied clients. Don't wait for them to come to you. Go out and ask.
And he even provides, like, scripts that you can use to make asking for reviews feel less, like, awkward.
Yeah, because let's face it, it can be awkward.
It can be awkward. But, you know, as he points out, most clients are happy to leave a review if you've provided them with a great experience.
Yeah.
And if you make it easy for them to do so.
Absolutely.
So what else does he suggest?
Well, he stresses the importance of responding to every single review.
Every single one.
Every single one, both positive and negative.
Even the negative ones.
Especially the negative ones.
Okay.
He makes a strong case for why responding to those negative reviews is crucial for protecting your online reputation and showing those potential clients that you're responsive and you care about their feedback.
So it's about turning those negative experiences into opportunities for like growth and improvement.
Exactly. And he talks about how to respond to them in a professional, empathetic, and solution-oriented way. You know, you're not trying to argue with the reviewer or get defensive. You're trying to understand their perspective.
Yeah.
And see if there's anything you can do to make things right.
It's about showing those potential clients that you're willing to listen and learn from your mistake.
Exactly. And then he talks about the importance of showcasing your positive reviews, you know, on your website, your social media profiles.
Right.
Make them visible to those potential clients who are doing their research online.
So you're not just letting them sit there on Google. You're actually using them.
Absolutely.
To build that trust.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
credibility.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
He even suggests using them in your marketing materials.
Okay.
Incorporating them into your website copy, your brochures, even your ads.
So leveraging them to create that social proof.
Absolutely.
But here's where it gets interesting. He also talks about how to use Google reviews to actually improve your internal processes.
I like this.
Yeah.
He suggests analyzing those reviews.
Okay.
To identify any recurring themes.
So looking for areas where you're consistently exceeding expectations.
Absolutely.
But also areas where there's room for improvement.
Yeah, and he even suggests using AI tools to analyze the sentiment of those reviews. You know, are they generally positive, negative, neutral?
Right.
And then use that information to make data-driven decisions about how to improve your firm's operations.
So, again, not just relying on gut feelings or anecdotal evidence.
But data.
You're using that data to make informed decisions.
Absolutely. And it comes back to that mindset of continuous learning and improvement.
Never settling for good enough.
Precisely.
Now, let's talk about hiring.
Okay.
You know, we've heard repeatedly, you can't scale a law firm on your own.
You can't.
You need to build a strong team.
You need a good team.
And Sim actually dedicates a whole episode to discussing the 5 hiring mistakes that are costing law firms millions of dollars.
Millions.
Millions.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And these are mistakes that a lot of law firms make.
All the time.
Often, without even realizing it.
Absolutely.
So let's break it down. What's the first mistake?
Hiring talkers instead of doers.
Okay.
It's easy to be impressed by someone who can talk a good game in an interview, you know?
But what really matters is their track record.
Exactly.
Like, what have they actually accomplished?
100%.
Okay. So how do you screen out those talkers and identify those doers?
Well, he suggests using those behavioral interview questions.
Okay.
Those questions that prompt the candidate to give those specific examples of how they've handled situations in the past.
So like, instead of asking, are you a good problem solver?
Right.
You ask, tell me about a time when you faced a challenging problem at work. What did you do? What was the outcome?
Exactly.
Okay, so you get to those concrete.
Get to the evidence.
You get to the evidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what else? He also suggests incorporating trial projects or assessments.
So give them a real world task and see how they perform?
Exactly.
Okay, that's a much better indicator of their ability than a resume.
Yeah, than just their resume or their interview.
For sure.
Okay, so what's the second hiring mistake?
Hiring for skills, but not for cultural fit.
Ah, yes. Finding those people who align with your values.
So important.
Your vision.
Crucial.
And if you don't have that, I mean,
it's trouble.
It can lead to so much conflict.
Yeah.
Low morale.
Turnover.
High turnover.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. So how do you avoid that?
Well, he emphasizes that cultural fit should be assessed just as rigorously as skills and experience during the hiring process.
So it's not just someone who can do the job. It's someone who will thrive in your unique environment.
Yep.
Okay, so how do you do that?
He suggests those behavioral interview questions specifically designed to assess cultural fit.
Okay.
And he encourages those law firm leaders to clearly define their values and make sure they're reflected in their hiring practices.
Okay, so mistake number 3.
Overvaluing credentials over practical skills. So don't get too caught up in those fancy degrees or prestigious schools.
Nope.
Because, I mean, while those could be indicators, right?
Sure.
Of intelligence, potential.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always translate to real-world effectiveness.
Especially in law.
Especially in law. Yeah, where it's so hands-on.
Yeah, client-focused.
You need people who can think on their feet.
Solve problems,
build relationships with those clients.
It's a different skill set.
Yeah, skills you don't learn in a classroom.
Nope.
Okay, so mistake number 4.
Failing to define the role, clearly.
Ooh, can be a big one.
This is a big one.
Yeah, because it leads to so much confusion.
Yeah.
Unmet expectations.
And a costly hiring mistake.
Costly, yes.
Because if the candidate doesn't fully understand what's expected of them, how can they succeed?
Right.
And if you don't have a clear idea of what you're looking for,
how do you even find the right person?
Exactly.
So what does Sam recommend?
He stresses the importance of those detailed job descriptions. You know, outline the specific responsibilities, the tasks, the expectations of the role.
Okay.
And he encourages those law firm leaders to involve their team in the process of defining those roles. You know, get input from the people who are actually doing the work.
Love it. Get that feedback from your team.
Yes.
Okay. And the 5th and final hiring mistake.
Not setting up a proper onboarding process.
It's amazing how many companies just skimp on this.
It's a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Onboarding is the first impression.
Yes.
It's their introduction to your culture, your values, your processes.
And if you don't do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really setting them up.
For failure.
For failure. Yeah. So Sam stresses the importance of creating a structured onboarding process.
Okay.
You know, complete with training materials, introductions to key team members, and a clear plan.
So they feel welcomed, supported.
Supported, prepared to succeed.
Okay.
He even suggests assigning a mentor to each new hire.
Ooh, That can make a huge difference.
Huge difference.
In their experience. And their long-term success.
Okay. And does he have any, like, bonus mistakes?
He does.
Like, okay.
Not tracking those performance metrics from day one.
So not setting those clear goals and expectations.
Exactly.
Or ways to even measure progress.
Right. Because if you don't have a way to track it, how do you know if they're succeeding?
How do you give feedback?
How do you give feedback?
How do you identify areas for improvement?
Exactly.
So it comes back to that TGI framework.
Tracking goals and incentives.
Yeah.
Such a simple but powerful framework.
And he encourages those leaders to make performance tracking a part of their culture from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
So it's not seen as like punitive or micromanaging.
Right. It's just how we do things.
Okay. This entire deep dive has been incredibly insightful.
It really has.
We've gleaned so much valuable advice from these episodes.
From AI to those virtual assistants, marketing, hiring. I mean, it's been a whirly tour.
And you know, what's really striking is positive, proactive approach
right
to navigating all these changes that are happening.
He doesn't shy away from challenges. He embraces them.
He does.
As opportunities for growth and innovation.
And he's so generous with his, like, insights.
Oh, yeah.
And strategies.
He's passionate about helping other lawyers succeed.
And it's contagious.
It is.
Like, I'm walking away feeling inspired.
You too.
To, like, step up my game and embrace those opportunities.
Absolutely.
So what are your key takeaways?
Well, I think for me, one of the biggest is just the importance of embracing change.
Okay.
And being proactive in adapting to this evolving legal landscape, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's AI, new marketing strategies, innovative ways to manage your practice. I mean, things are changing constantly.
Absolutely.
And those who are willing to embrace those changes will be the ones who thrive.
Absolutely. And I think another key takeaway is building that strong team.
Couldn't agree more.
Like, you can't do it all yourself.
You can't.
You need to surround yourself with talented people.
Yep.
Who can support your vision.
Yep.
And help you achieve those goals.
And that's where those hiring tips.
Yeah.
And those strategies for leveraging those VAs come in.
It's about building a team that's aligned.
Yeah.
With your values, your vision, your goals.
Absolutely.
And creating a culture of continuous learning and improvement.
Now, what about you?
What am I going to implement?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm feeling inspired to take a closer look at my marketing strategy.
Okay.
Explore some of those AI tools that he recommends.
Love it.
And I'm definitely going to prioritize building a stronger SOP for my team.
Yeah, VA's Bible.
That VA's Bible.
Game changer.
It sounds like a game changer.
And I think the beauty of his approach is that he provides such actionable advice.
Yeah, it's not just theoretical. It's practical. It's step by step.
You can do it.
And he breaks it down into those, like, bite-sized chunks that make it feel less overwhelming.
Absolutely.
And more achievable.
More manageable.
Yeah, I like that.
And, you know, one thing I'd encourage you to do is to revisit these episodes periodically.
Ooh, like a refresher course.
Yeah, a refresher course.
I like that.
Because, you know, things are changing.
Like silly.
There's always something new to learn.
It's a journey, not a destination.
So true. So for all you legal entrepreneurs out there, keep learning, keep growing, and keep pushing the boundaries.
And if you're looking for a mentor to guide you along the way, be sure to check out the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Great advice.
Sam and his guests offer a wealth of, like, wisdom and inspiration.
I agree. This deep dive has been an incredible experience. I feel energized. I feel inspired. And I'm ready to take my practice to the next level.
Me too. And it's just amazing how much valuable information you can get from a well-crafted podcast.
It is.
So as we conclude this deep dive, let's leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
With AI changing the legal landscape so rapidly, what's the one skill that you think will be the most valuable for a law professional in the next 5 years?
Ooh.
Share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you.
We're here for it.
Until next time, keep diving deep.
Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
We're back for the final part of our deep dive into the law entrepreneur. You know, it's amazing how much we've already covered, from AI and automation to marketing and building a solid team.
And there's still so much more to glean from these episodes. I mean, Sam just packs so much into each one.
He really does. And, you know, one thing that stood out to me throughout, his emphasis on mindset. Like, it's not just about the strategies and the tools.
Right.
It's about approaching your legal practice with the right attitude and beliefs.
He talks a lot about, you know, having a growth mindset, right? Yeah. Seeing those challenges as opportunities to learn and grow instead of just roadblocks or setbacks.
It's about, like, embracing that continuous learning process and being willing to step outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. And he talks about the importance of resilience, too. That ability to bounce back from those setbacks and keep moving forward even when things get tough.
Which is essential in any profession, but especially, I think, in law, where you're dealing with, you know, these complex issues, high-stakes situations.
Absolutely. He also emphasizes, you know, having a clear vision for your practice. Like, where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? What kind of impact do you want to make?
So it's about having that North Star to guide you.
Exactly. Now, you know, let's circle back to AI for a second.
The elephant in the room.
Yeah. Right?
The force that's shaping the future of law.
And while some lawyers might be intimidated by AI, Sam really sees it as this powerful tool that you can use to enhance your practice.
It can streamline those workflows.
Provide better service to your clients.
And he's all about using technology to create that leverage.
Free yourself up to focus on those tasks that only humans can do, you know?
Exactly. And he's constantly exploring those new AI tools, sharing those insights.
He's like a tech-savvy guy leading the way.
Totally.
Now, I also thought it was really cool how open Sam was about sharing his own mistakes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't shy away from admitting that he's messed up along the way, and he uses those as like teaching moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he shows other lawyers how to learn from those mistakes so they don't have to make them themselves.
I think it makes him so much more human, you know,
right.
Relatable.
Yeah, it's refreshing to hear someone who's so successful talk about their failures. It makes them seem more, well, more human, more relatable.
It does. And it also shows that success isn't a straight line.
Right. It's a journey. It's got those twists and turns.
Screw downs.
And it's those challenges that make it, you know, worthwhile. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the law entrepreneur, what are like your key takeaways? What are you going to do differently in your practice as a result of listening to these episodes?
Wow. That's a big question. I think the biggest takeaway for me is just the importance of embracing change, being proactive in adapting to this legal landscape as it evolves, you know, whether it's AI, new marketing strategies, those innovative ways to manage your practice. I mean, things are in constant flux. And those who are willing to embrace change will be the ones that thrive.
Absolutely. And for me, I think just building a strong team, like you can't do this all on your own.
Yep.
You need to surround yourself with those talented people who can support your vision and help you achieve your goals.
And that's where those hiring tips and those strategies for working with the VAs, those virtual assistants come into play.
It's about building that team that's aligned with your values, your vision.
And creating a culture of continuous learning and improvement. What about you?
What am I going to implement? I think, honestly, I'm feeling very inspired to take a closer look at my marketing strategy, explore some of those AI tools that Sam recommends, and definitely going to prioritize building a stronger SOP for my team.
Yeah, the VA's Bible, like we talked about, that's a game changer.
It is.
And I think the beauty of Sam's approach is that he provides such actionable advice. It's not theoretical. It's practical, those step-by-step things that you can implement.
He breaks it down into those bite-sized chunks so it doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Totally. And I'd encourage you and everyone listening to revisit these episodes periodically.
Like a refresher course.
Exactly, because things are constantly changing. There's always something new to learn.
It's a journey, not a destination.
So true. So for all you legal entrepreneurs out there, keep learning, keep growing, keep pushing those boundaries.
And if you're looking for a mentor to guide you along the way, definitely check out the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Such great advice.
Sam and his guests offer so much wisdom and inspiration. Well, this deep dive has been incredible. I'm walking away energized, inspired, and ready to take things to the next level.
Me too. It's amazing how much you can learn from a well-crafted podcast.
It is. So as we conclude this deep dive, let's leave our listeners with a final thought. With AI changing the legal landscape so rapidly, what's the one skill that you think will be most valuable for a law professional in the next 5 years?
Ooh, good one.
Share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep diving deep.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.